Good morning again from Harvest Church, Maple Ridge. And God richly bless you for coming. It is trusted that the Holy Spirit is dwelling within your heart, and the joy of the Lord is your portion on this great Easter Sunday. Like the angel at the garden tomb, we affirm that Christ is alive. He is not here, but he has risen, even as he has said. Today, we continue our message series on following God. From our earlier messages, we have discovered that we follow God, or we imitate him exactly as he is, as his dear children, as we walk in love. And today we're going to discover the joy of imitating God as light unto the world. Let's now join the service that's presently in session, and may the Holy Spirit speak to you as we speak to you in love.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, I listen in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, is and the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world, the birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world, it shines in all that's fair, in the rustling grass I hear him pass, he speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world, oh let me ne'er forget that how the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. Time for me will be no more.
if you have your Bible, then please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll read from verses 1 to 10. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us as an offering, and as a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as become saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, no covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes in darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So today, as I have just said, we are looking at imitating God as light in this darkened world. I don't know how you feel about darkness. I remember when I was a boy living in Cloverdale, I used to ride my father's bike to and from Cloverdale in the darkest of night to get groceries so that we could have fresh meat in the morning. You see, we didn't have a fridge, and daily I would have to go and get meat from a market. When I used to ride down 168th Street, there were two large ditches on each side of the road. And so, in wintertime, as the sun started to settle, because there was no street lights, the road would become very, very dark. And I was gripped with fear as I rode down the middle of the road, that perchance, with a mistake, even though it might be slight, I would end up in the ditch. And because the ditch was deep and there was very little traffic on the road, I was absolutely certain that no one would find me until the next day or so. But there was a continuous, pervasive fear of the darkness. And when I would see a car coming, my heart would revel with peace that for the next 3 or 4 minutes, perhaps, the road would be clear and I would be safe as I traveled down the road. You see, light is the factor that brings us delight, because we are in a safe setting with a directed path to a welcome good end. And so Paul the Apostle, in the last while, has been telling us that we are following God. We are imitating God. And we understand from the Bible that God himself is light. And so if God is light and we are reflecting him, unquestionably then, our life should be light as well. Paul the Apostle in Ephesians chapter 5, particularly in this passage, is going to develop his theme of us being light and walking as light from three variant perspectives. First of all, he is going to tell us about our past predicament. Notice in verse 8, Paul the Apostle writes, "For you were sometimes in darkness, but now ye are in light in the Lord." Our past predicament, Paul has already clearly discussed in Ephesians chapter 2. You might remember that Paul the Apostle starts out by saying that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, that we were cut out of the commonwealth of Israel, that we were alien from the household of faith, and that we had no hope in God. But you see, Paul understands that this development for a new life, to be walking in the light, can be radically changed. And he wants us to know that we, who were in darkness, have now been translated out of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. He explains this clearly in Ephesians and in Colossians chapter 1. So what a glorious hope we have. One time, in our past predicament, we were in darkness, with our mind darkened by Satan, and our tendency was to only do evil continuously. And Paul develops that theme here by saying that our acts were unbecoming to God because in our past life, in our past predicament, we did such things as fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, and jesting. And these things were all done because of the ignorance of our mind and the vanity of our flesh. In Ephesians 4:17, he explains this by saying, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned from God." Paul is very, very distinct in explaining that these works were done in ignorance. And why they were done in ignorance is simply this. Every one of these deeds that Paul has just mentioned is a scornful, disdainful, and an unwelcome act against one's own flesh. Commonly, it is thought that no one purposely does damage to himself unless his mind, his conscience, his heart, and his will is darkened to such an extent where he no longer understands what he is doing. And Paul affirms this in Ephesians, that Satan had darkened our mind, and in our past predicament, being separated from God, we virtually had no choice but to do the will of Satan and follow all that he distilled within our mind as being right, even though according to God, it was totally, absolutely, unquestionably wrong. Praise the Lord, however, praise the Lord, Paul is going to tell us that there has been a radical change in our heart as he develops the next step by talking to us about our present position. Notice in verse 8, after he has told us that we were sometimes in darkness, he goes on to say that now are ye light in the Lord, walk as light. You are light in the Lord. The Jews would have a very, very clear understanding of the meaning of light. According to their thinking and their remembrance, they would recall that the very first element of God's creative design was to make light. Light. It was God who said, "Let there be light." And in that one short dictum, he removed darkness and chaos from the face of the earth. And this continued as God created the sun, the moon, the stars, and all the celestial galaxies by which the world became enlightened out of darkness. And the Bible affirms this, that God could create light because he is not only the author of light, he is very light himself. John records that as he speaks, saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. In him was life, and the light was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent forth from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. God then himself is the light. John, the Bible tells us, was the witness to the authentication of the light, God himself. If you were lost in a very, very deep and dark, dismal tunnel, hoping to find your way out, and all of a sudden somebody yelled, "There's light coming," I'm sure your mind and your heart would turn directly to the light, waiting for it to come. The person telling you about the light is the one informing you. He is not the light. God himself is the precious light. Jesus clearly, unreservedly, and passionately declares that he is the light of the world. In John 8:12, he says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of light." And then in John 9:5, he says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." But the Jews would have a second, clear, and pressing association with the importance of light. From the story of their travels to the Promised Land, we remember that God gave them a cloud by day and a pillar of light by night. Exodus 13:18. "But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, 'God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you.' And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham, in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." The Jews saw a cloud by day and a pillar by night, but in actual fact, they were seeing the Lord himself, the creator of light, and light himself. And then the Jews understood the need, the joy of light when they were in Babylon. You see, God did not forsake them even though they had rebelled and sinned and made the commandments of God of null effect. And so, in their despair, God came to them and spoke to them, promising them that a deliverer would come. And he says to them these great and wonderful words, that he would guide them out of their great darkness into light as they purpose to see it and follow it unreservedly. Listen to what Isaiah writes in Isaiah 9:1. "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of all nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadows of death, upon them hath the light shined." And we know that here in this wonderful passage, in verse 6, we are told who this great light will be. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace shall there be no end, upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts himself will perform this." So praise the Lord, even in darkness, God brings forth light because he is the light. You might remember when we studied Guide Us to the Star, we talked about the star being the light that led the Magi to hope. In Matthew chapter 2, we read how the Magi, way off near Persia, saw the great light, and immediately their attention was captivated by it so intensely that they had no choice but to follow it. And then following it, they came to Jerusalem, first of all. Then they came to Bethlehem. Then they came to the house where Jesus laid. And then, being warned in a dream, they followed the light home by another direction where they found safety. It is of very, very great interest as we follow through with this study that the Magi never call it a light, but they say, "We have seen his star shining in the east." Again, an affirmation of the great need to recognize that God himself is the light. And Paul the Apostle understood God to be light with both his natural and his spiritual eyes. You remember that Paul the Apostle was on his way coming out of Jerusalem to Damascus with the full intent that he was going to harass and harangue all those that were on the way, those that had confessed that Christ himself was God. And Paul the Apostle was very, very intent on doing great, immeasurable cruelty. And he writes this in Acts 22:3, explaining exactly what happened to him when the light, God's light, visited him. Paul writes, "I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom I also received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound there unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that, as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus. Paul saw the light, and he affirms that this light is God himself. God himself, because he answers, Who art thou, Lord? Now, the children of Israel fancied light, and they always paid great attention to the significance of light. In the first century AD, when this passage was written by the Apostle Paul, if a Jewish family did not have light in its home, it would be classified as a dead home. You see, light always, always signifies life. David recognized the importance of the word as life. And in Psalm 119:103, he says, How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter more than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. The entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. And then we understand from Isaiah 42:6, Isaiah writes again, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a Gentiles to the light, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and the new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. So light, the light of God, is life and liberty in the works that are done because of them. I need to reaffirm then, Paul here has stated, we once were in darkness, performing the acts of shame and sorrow. But now, because we are translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, we affirm with strength and courage and certainty and with the greatest of convictions that we are in the light. The Bible tells us, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sins. And we have fellowship one with another and with Him. So, we have moved from our past predicament of being in sin. We have moved towards our present position of finding our life and our identity in the light, in Christ and in God, who are the light. But Paul wants to develop the theme one more step. And in verse 9, he carries on by saying, now that you are in the light, Christ Himself, walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Paul's proposed passion then is that we walk as children of light. Again, like we did earlier, we have to notice a couple of things that Paul wants you and I to understand about following God in light. Firstly, Paul is convinced that this walk must be in the Lord Himself. You see, from the very beginning of Ephesians chapter 5, he starts out without any question or without any embarrassment, and he says, be followers of God. Not of some philosophical dimension that would bring us to a warm, comfortable acceptance before the world. No, Paul's main claim here is that we are the children of God. We are following our Father and nothing else. And then Paul wants you and I to know that this continuous walk needs to be a normative lifestyle for all believers that will be radically countercultural to the culture in which we live. Thirdly, Paul wants us to know that this walk is a walk of maturity. Of interest in this passage here is the word for children that Paul uses. In the Greek, there are two words for child. The first one is paideia, which means a small child needing help to make it through the day. But the second word is techna, which Paul uses in this passage, which means an older child, a mature child, an empowered child, because he is an understanding child of the requirements for his upcoming activity here. And so, Paul wants you and I to know that we are walking in the light. Isaiah 58:3 tells us that when the light of God's great morning breaks forth, that we will become His children of understanding. Now, it should not be strange that Paul the Apostle is asking us to walk as light. You might remember that Jesus Himself emphasized the significance of us being the light of the world, and that we should not hide our light, for it is the light we possess that empowers others to see God as we live out our life in righteousness. So, because we are the light of the world, and we are walking in the light, we must let our light shine, 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 shine for Jesus. This is very, very important. As we understand that we must walk in God's Spirit, directed to the light, so that we can be His glorious light to all those in whom we have contact. Regarding the significance of light, D. Martin Lloyd-Jones writes in the Sermon on the Mountain, you remember how in Ephesians 5, Paul state, "For sometimes you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So not only have we been made light, we become transmitters of light." In other words, it is this extraordinary teaching of the mystical union of the Lord and believers that God nature enters into us so that we become, in a sense, exactly what He Himself is. It is essential that we bear in mind both parts of the equation. We have received His knowledge and His light, but we must also understand that these are inseparable parts of our life. They are now our life breath, and we have become reflectors of them as a natural outflow of His life. Notice that nowhere in Scripture does Christ ever talk about what the believer must do with the light before He emphasizes clearly that believers must be the light. So what do we do as lights then? Well, firstly, we show a contrast between light and darkness. And then we offer an alternate way of life. And then we explain as light the reasons for darkness. Spiritual darkness is always caused because Satan hath blinded the mind of man to believe a lie rather than to accept the truth. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And then the light directs mankind back to God, who everyone, because of the measure of faith that has been given to them, desires to know personally. And then the light brings others into the family of God as fellow citizens and welcomes them into the union of fellowship within the family because we are centered around God. And then it offers sanity, serenity, stability because we now know the mysteries of God, even eternal life. No longer do men need to be controlled by their despair, depravity, and desolation that has filled their life. As God speaks into our heart, we become lights with new desires, new aspirations, a new outlook, and a new path to follow. That of light, of life, and liberty in God Himself. Paul implores us to walk as light. That needs to be our proposed passion. But how are we going to walk in light that will have an impact in our world? Well, Paul is going to explain that to us when he tells us in Ephesians chapter 5:9, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." So, brothers and sisters, the way that we are going to prove to the world and to God and to our fellow citizens within the church that we indeed are in light and we walk as light is simply this. We are going to bring forth fruit of goodness, fruit of righteousness, and fruit of truth. Goodness is nothing more than the performance of good, kind, gracious acts that demonstrate the benevolence of God that has been demonstrated towards us already. It is always associated with the social acts. And in everything that is mentioned, the acts are reflected by a helping hand that becomes God's extended hand of help to those that are impoverished, those that are marginalized, and those that are distilled as being as insignificant. And of course, Matthew 25 is the clearest example of that, where Jesus said, "If you give even a cup of water in my name to anybody, you're actually doing it unto Him." And then James tells us that true and acceptable religion is this, that we look after the widows and we look after the orphans, those that are imprisoned, and so on. So good acts, those that are praiseworthy amongst man and praiseworthy to God, as we do everything in the name of Jesus, all for the praise of His glory. And then Paul the Apostle tells us that we do acts of righteousness. These are morally, ethically upright acts that seek the good of others first rather than seeking one's own good. They are subjective in character. By continuously enhancing righteousness, we clearly indicate to others that we do not approve of unrighteousness. It is simply this reason that we cannot associate with the ungodly, not because of who they are, but because of what they do. God is righteous. He is holy. He is pure. He is upright. And because we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we ourselves are compelled, if not propelled, to do works of righteousness that are good and easily accepted by others. And then Paul says, then we perform the third fruit, truth or genuineness of heart. And this is that we speak well of God as we follow Him. We speak of that which is free of self-gain, of deceit, of falsehood, or any shadow of disguise. No element of fraudulent misrepresentation of who we are or who the God we follow is can ever be mentioned in our thoughts or in our minds or in our acts. You see, truth is neither objective nor subjective. It transcends both as it distills within a person the measurement of his character by God Himself. The same word, aletheia, is used when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Gandhi once said, I would be a Christian had I not met too many of them. When we examine the fruit that Paul wants us to measure our light by, we need to understand that goodness reflects back on our ability, what we are doing. Righteousness reflects on what we do to others. But speaking forth truth reflects on our attitude towards God. If, brothers and sisters, we name Christ and God as Lord, then naturally, the kingdom of God should be reflected in all that we do, say, and think. Jesus has called us unto Himself. He has shed His blood. He died on the cross for our forgiveness. We are fully accepted by Him as His dear children. We are fully accepted by Him as we walk in love. And now Paul states that we need to do our very, very best because we are His dear children, that we walk in Him who is the light, as light, reflecting the light of the gospel to those that are in darkness, so that they may see the great light of God in us and come to faith and to repentance, to liberty and life eternal. I commend you this week as you leave in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ and in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and in the certainty of whose child you are, that you go forth today and throughout this upcoming week and let your light shine for Jesus. Shine, shine, shine. And God richly bless you. Amen. God richly bless you for taking the time to listen to this CD. It is trusted that your heart has been edified to a deeper walk with Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. If we can be of any assistance to you in praying for you or speaking into your life the love of Christ, please do not hesitate to email me at nesimer@aol.com. Or if you have a special prayer request that you would like to get to us directly, you may phone me at 604-760-7552. On behalf of the congregation at Harvest Church, Maple Ridge, I invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 10:30 for our regularly scheduled services. On the first and third Sunday evenings at 6:30, we have our hymn sing and our film night. You are cordially invited to join us if you are in the area. Remember, the supreme love of Christ is exemplified through a godly life of submission that is always followed through with obedience to His call. God richly bless you, yours in Christ, as we work together with Him for kingdom advancement.